We're looking in the book of Mark this morning. It's something that Grace Church Kingsway has been doing for most of its time. And next week we're going to be start looking at the purpose of Jesus. And one of the sermons I did during that time was this one at the beginning when we were looking at the identity of Jesus. And I thought it was important this morning that we look at who is Jesus to us. Who is Jesus to us? And we see in this passage that before us this morning who Jesus is to the disciples and to others around. But the main question is, who is Jesus to you? I don't know about you, but if you were approached by Anthony McPartlin, if you don't know who he is, you'll think of Anton Deck. Anthony McPartlin is Ant, the one with the less hair, I think. And he tasked you to write about his life, to find out about who he really is. How would you go about it? Maybe you would start by asking a collection of people who watch all the different shows they're in. Saturday Night Takeaway is one of them. So you could go and ask some of those people. Britain's Got Talent, you could ask some of those people about what he's like. Maybe you can ask one of the contestants from I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, because he runs that too. Because they've spent 3 weeks with him, so they know a bit more about him. Or maybe you would ask one of his friends what he's like. What does he like to do? And maybe you would ask Declan, or Deck, because he's been his lifelong friend. And then maybe you'd ask his wife. So you're building up a picture. You would start filtering all that you heard, and you'd start to get a good picture of what he was like and who he was and who he is. Now you've got all that detail. You've written it down. Everyone has told you who he is, and you can write this book. But after writing the book, imagine Ant came up to you and he says to you this. Who do you think I am? You have to make the call, the judgment on the evidence that you've seen. You have to make your own decision on the evidence before you of what he's like. We'll see today in this passage that Jesus asked the disciples a key question. And it's the pivotal point of the book of Mark, where the emphasis changes. We finally see the big picture, the identity of Jesus Christ becomes clear for the disciples. They have to weigh up all that they've seen through the first 8 chapters we've seen of Mark, and they have to make a decision of who Jesus Christ is from what they have seen and heard. So I'm just going to read those few verses to remind us of where we're at before we hit the two questions that we're going to look at in this passage. And it's from verse 27. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." So the first question we're going to look at is in verse 27, where he says, "Who do people say I am?" Well, this first question is geared towards all the disciples, and we know that the disciples would have been listening to all that's been going on around them, and they would have heard what people thought of Jesus. They would have heard the comments made by people. And from that, they come up And they say three things to Jesus in response from what they've heard. And the first person they say that they think he is John the Baptist. Now, why did they mention John the Baptist? Well, John was a popular figure in those times. But John the Baptist, at this time, was dead. He'd been beheaded. So to think that John the Baptist was Jesus, he would have had to have been raised from the dead. But the other key thing about John is John spent his life pointing to someone else. He didn't point to himself. He spoke about someone greater who was coming. John spoke about Jesus coming, someone who was greater than him. So it couldn't possibly be John that the people were talking about. But it was one thing that people thought, one person that people thought Jesus was. And the other one was Elijah. I say another one is Elijah. You see, Elijah was one of the Old Testament prophets. He lived during the reign of some really terrible kings. You can go and read it. Some fantastic stuff in the Old Testament. And the life of Elijah. And he was sent by God to prepare for the day of the Lord, when one day he would intervene in human history and bring in his judgment and eternal reign. And some people thought that this Jesus was Elijah. Here he is, Elijah. Maybe this Jesus is the promised Elijah. The third one they give is Jesus is one of the prophets. Who were the prophets? The prophets were men and women through whom God spoke. But that is all. They spoke on God's behalf. And what we need to realize is in this answer that the disciples give to Jesus are not bad examples. They're not bad examples. They show us Jesus in different ways, in the way that they imitate him. But they're not true representations of him. They still have the wrong view of who Jesus is. Those are the wrong views of Jesus. Well, what does our culture tell us? If you went out on the streets, what does our culture tell us about who Jesus is? He was a good man who lived a long time ago, who made good morals, who helped a bunch of people. Some people might say he even died. But being the Son of God? No way. You'll probably find most people have a very shallow view of Jesus in our culture. And they've made up their view of him from hearsay and not from any research or thought about it. What do other religions tell us about Jesus? There's the Mormons. On the surface, they will tell you similar things to Christianity, what they believe about him. But they tell you he has a beginning. They tell you that he's not equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's a very different Jesus. And then you've got the Jehovah's Witnesses. Again, on the surface, it looks like they tell us the same about Jesus. But they don't think Jesus was fully God and fully man. They think he was only a spokesperson for God. You see, these things can fool us into thinking about who Jesus is. They can look real. They can have some truth. But they all fall short of God's view of Jesus. His real identity is hidden and in most cases completely denied. Who are you going to listen to? Where are you going to get your view of Jesus from? Where is the view of Jesus going to be right? We have a world full of information. It's absolutely crazy where you can get information from now. It's all available at our fingertips. You can just pull out your phone and type in on Google, can't you? And get the information that you want. But we know we can't trust all the sources. So how can we be sure? How can we be sure we get our view of Jesus right from the right source? Well, when you want to find out about a historical figure, which I did with Lois the other day, where would I go? Well, I went online, I went onto Google, and I typed in Henry VIII onto Google. And up comes Wikipedia, and Wikipedia gives a great article telling you the key points about him. It's wonderful. It's there, instant. What about the Queen? You could do the same. Type in the Queen. Wikipedia tells you all about the Queen. It's excellent. What you're doing is you're trusting Wikipedia to tell you the truth about that character. So whatever you say, you're making Wikipedia your source, your trust. Well, what about the Bible? What do we do with the Bible? Well, you could go onto Google and type in, do I trust the Bible? And let Wikipedia tell you whether you trust the Bible or not. What do you do? What are you doing if you do that? You're trusting Wikipedia to tell you whether the Bible's going to tell you the truth or not. You see, it's really important we know what we trust as our true source. Because we do it with everything in life. We decide if we should trust it or not, depending on the source of the information. You see, we believe God's word. God's word is the truth. This is where we listen to God's voice. We don't listen to others. It's the Bible that's going to tell us and give us a true representation of Jesus Christ. It's where we're going to find out about him. The truth. It comes from God himself. And what we need to realize is at some stage in our life, we need to make a decision whether we think this is the truth, whether this is our source to know about God, to know about Jesus. You see, God's Bible paints a picture for us, the representation of Jesus Christ. It's the source of his truth. And now we come to the second question that Jesus asks. And Peter is now at the stage where he's now made his own assessment. He said what other people think. He now makes his own assessment of what he's seen of Jesus' life. And Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And it's Peter that speaks up. And Peter responds, "You are the Christ." Peter has answered the big question, who is Jesus? And he says those words to him. And the word he uses, Christ, to describe him, is really important. Because Christ, to Peter and to us, means that he's the anointed one of God, the Messiah. Kings were traditionally anointed with oil as a kind of coronation. And this word here means someone who's been anointed as a king. A king who's going to put everything right. And Peter's saying, "Jesus, you're my king. You're my ruler. You're the one who's going to sort out everything on God's behalf." Peter has come to his conclusion about Jesus. But how has he got to that point? How has he seen what so many other people have seen and have come to that one conclusion that some others haven't? How has Peter come to the point where he says, "You're the Messiah, you're the Christ"? Well, I encourage you to go back and read the first 8 chapters of Mark. And you'll see a very clear picture of Jesus being portrayed, of who he is. And just to give you a few things about what we've seen and what Peter would have seen is, Jesus, when he taught in the synagogues, people saw that he didn't just teach. He taught with someone who had authority. He didn't just give teaching. He taught as the author. People saw that there was something great about him. He amazed them. That's in Mark 1:27, if you want to read about that. Peter was amazed at how Jesus taught. He didn't teach like anybody else. That's just one of the things that led him to see that Christ was the Messiah. Another key. There were 4 friends who had a paralyzed friend, and they ripped up a roof of someone's house, and they lowered him down in front of Jesus. And they had in mind for Jesus to heal this man of his paralysis, because he couldn't walk. The first thing Jesus does is forgive his sin. Because Jesus saw that the forgiveness of sins was far more important than healing this man's paralysis. And in Mark 2, it says, Mark 2:6, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus was putting his stamp out to the people to show them who he was. He was the Son of God. Who can forgive sins but God alone? This Jesus, he's God. He can forgive. And Peter saw it where the Pharisees didn't. Another example, Jesus calms the storm. In Mark 4, Jesus is on a boat, he's asleep, and the disciples are there in the boat, and it gets a bit rough for them. And they wake Jesus, and he speaks, and the wind and the waves stop instantly. And these are the words of the disciples when they get out of the boat. "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Key to them to unlocking who Jesus is. Peter has seen all this and he is convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. He has had to trust, Peter has had to trust and believe what Jesus said about himself. He had to do that himself. He looked at all the evidence before him and he had to ignore what other people said and made his own choice about what he saw. And his heart was to follow Jesus. And not only did he want to follow Jesus, he wanted to make him his king, Messiah, ruler over his life. So if Peter got his view of Jesus right, how can we get our view of Jesus right? Because it's important. Well, the first way we can get our view of Jesus right is by listening to the Bible. Listening to the Bible. Listening to being read out loud at church. There's a reason why we have the reading of Scripture. It's to be read so that we hear the words of God being read, so that we may hear the truth and believe and trust it. The Bible is where we learn about Jesus. So when it's read, it tells us all about him. We can know him. The Bible is here to teach us about Jesus Christ. Another way is to read the Bible, not just to hear it, but to read it. Read the Bible privately through the week. Use the first 8 chapters, as I've said, to lead you to an understanding about what it is for Jesus to be the Messiah. Another way is praying. Praying. This is a great way to ask God to show you Jesus, to start the beginning of understanding of what the truth is, and ask him personally to lead you into an understanding of him. Be honest with God. Tell him what you struggle with in your understanding of him. And he will use his word and the reading of his word and the listening to preaching, which is the next point, listening to preaching, to lead you to know more about who Jesus Christ is. Preaching is where God's word is taught and explained. It's not just left open for you to be confused about. It is to be explained. You see, church is where we come together to do all these things, to learn more about our Savior, to get the right picture, the right representation of Jesus Christ. You see, we want you to know Jesus Christ, who he really is, not what you think he is. We want Jesus to become your king, our king. As a church, we serve our living God as king. He's our Messiah. He's our Christ, as he was to Peter. If Jesus was to come to you this morning, face to face, and asked you, "Who do you say I am?" what would you say to him? What would your answer be? What is your view of Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus to you? Amen.